Hi.
It did, and it did it so ninja-like, so stealthily that I didn't even know. So I'm shutting down everything else, and we should have good quality. Oh, this will be exciting. So this is just going to be a loose format, and I'm just going to get right in and tell people. Here we go. This is first reboot. So and I'm just they'll hear my papers in the background. Everybody, welcome to the reboot of the Easy Tarot Lessons podcast. I'm your host, Dusty White. I'm a professional tarot teacher, astrologer, psychic, yabba yabba, nine books. Been doing this for a while. I must admit that we have our first sponsor for the show. It's me. I wrote The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever. I hope that you have the book. If you don't panic. You can get a whole lot of value out of this. This podcast is designed to help you learn the tarot, not reach in your wallet. So if you can get the book, great. If you can't, just keep learning. On the phone is one of my favorite students. Would you like to introduce yourself, person whose name I forgot? I'm just
Hi, my name is
kidding.
Shay LaFave.
She's really great. She's really smart, and she's a volunteer to come on and be on our first flagship podcast. And I just woke up blah, blah, blah. So this is going to be a little rough. So bear with us. All right, so quick intro. So this is a show about learning the tarot, of course. We'll cover things like how to read the cards, so you can tell the future. Later on, we'll talk about manifestation, how you can use tarot and spells and law of attraction and all that kind of stuff. Oh boy. What I like about the tarot is whether you're a Buddhist, whether you're a Wiccan, whether you're a Christian, or whatever, it is non-denominational. The cards work because they're images. We have a what did you say? Would you say we have 100, 200 different decks on the market?
Oh, more than 1,000, I think.
Oh my God. Am I behind the times? So yeah, the point is that there's a deck for everyone and every purpose. And this goes well beyond tarot decks. But just even the pure I am a tarot deck, there's so many to choose from that you really just find which one works for you. And there's highly specialized ones like the New Orleans Voodoo deck, which is very much a tarot deck, but very, very voodoo, which is very cool. And then there's ones like the Inner Child, which go kind of way off the deep end, but still a very fun deck, and it's kind of loosely based on the tarot. But they all work if they work for you. And that's really one question I want to answer right away. Is which deck is the best? The best deck is the one that works for you. And that's really what this course is all about. So let's get into this. A quick disclaimer, as I just said, I wrote The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever, because after 30 years of studying, I just couldn't find a book that I thought was the perfect book for the beginner. So you'll hear me mention it from time to time. Again, not reaching into your wallet. I'm just saying that I like the book, and fortunately, people do too. This course is free. I would like you to sign up to our free lessons at easytarotlessons.com. Sign up, get our newsletter. All we're going to do is we're going to update you and say, hey, here's a new podcast. Here's a new article lesson. All of this is free. There's no catch, there's no gimmicks. The book's $22 if you want it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Obviously, don't get rich off it, but it sure would be nice to get you going. If I come across other books along the way, like Joan Brunning's, have you ever seen her online course, by the way? I got to talk about that.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm kind of shortcutting this entire course by saying, hey, go win. But I'll have a link to that at easytarotlessons.com, which I'm actually working on. I spent all night building it. And yeah, one day. So yes, that's something to check out. Now, what matters to me is that you do this the right way. I don't want you to have to go around memorizing a whole bunch of cards, because that's just my notes in the background. That's what you're hearing. I hate the concept that you have to memorize cards. And I hear from so many students that are so frustrated because people have made it very hard to learn the tarot, and they filled it with all kinds of superstition. And superstition was great when we thought the world was flat. But if we take tarot fact and we just remove all the superstition, we've got a system that scientists should actually study because it really works and it's a great development tool. So, oh, also, I talk a lot if I come across as preachy. I am sorry, but I'm a teacher, not a motivational guru. So, just gonna have to deal with it. Or you can always turn it off. That's a great way of addressing it. Well, if you don't like it. So please grab a pen and paper, take notes. We're about to get it into it. Shay, anything you want to add real quick before we jump right into this?
Just that, exactly as Dusty's book says, use your cards. So pick a deck and start working with it.
Yeah. That's a good point. Let's talk about how the tarot works. I mean, what is it they said? If I may begin at the beginning, there has been a whole lot of discussion on how the tarot works. I'm gonna skip over all the different ways that people say, but we're gonna cut right down to it in the interest of keeping this short. In that, cards are really nothing more than a tool that you use. A carpenter has a hammer and a saw. You give me a hammer and a saw, it's just gonna be a mess. I found this out the hard way over and over, but you give me a deck of cards and I can work all kinds of wonders. The cards are just tools. The magic isn't the magic isn't in the wand, although it's really nice to have a nice wand. The magic is always in the performer. Think of tools like you would a hammer or a saw or a pair of eyeglasses. They help you see better. Maybe a crystal ball is, again, it's just something to stun the retina so that you can, get into that zone. Except tarot cards give you 78 different images, not just one blob of glass that you have to stare at. And so it's a lot easier for a lot of people, and this is why the tarot is so popular, is because it does. The idea is that the 78 cards individually and in combination with each other are supposed to represent every possible event or every possible existence in life. Can they? Well, that's why it takes a lot of internal work. Everyone has the ability to. It does take training. So if you don't get it right away, don't worry too much about it. But I want to cover that. There's just so much superstition that I want to get rid of, that you have to be psychic, that you have to cut the deck with your left hand. We want to cut right through that, and we want to just teach you how to do this. All right. Look at your cards like an alphabet. They are here to help you tell a story. You're the one speaking the language. You're the one forming the thoughts. When you're throwing down cards, all you're doing is, I got an A, I got a Q. What do I spell with an A and a Q? And sometimes, I don't know about you, Shay, but that's, I'm sitting and reading, I'm going, I got an A and a Q. How can I win Scrabble with an A and a Q? The idea of the tarot is to unite the loud voice in your head with the quiet voice in your head. If anybody's listening to this, they probably are already at a point where they know the difference between the conscious awareness, the yappity yap yap voice. It's our daily survival mechanism. We deal with it every day. It's our conscious thought. And then there's that very quiet Zen-like place that, you have to meditate or sit up on a mountain for 100 years to, in solitude and take a vow of silence in order to get. The tarot helps us unite those, and that's really the secret of being able to enter the zone and either manifest, which is a little bit more advanced, but we'll get to that. It's the same basic thing, though, and that's really what I want to jump ahead and say is that, and the tarot cards, of course, help us, draw in what's going to happen in the future because we're just drawing in information. We could say that we're slipping into the timeline. We're getting advice from our elders. Whatever stage you want to set it with, whatever paradigm you want to put out there, that's generally how it works. The tarot is just a tool. It is helping us by building a sentence. And what we're supposed to do, and this is how you channel, by the way, because tarot is just channeling 101, is you quiet the yap yap voice so that you can hear the whispers that are coming in. And these whispers are your mind. It's not some kind of crazy supernatural thing. Again, we go back to removing the superstition. All this is explained in the book, but again, you know, for those of us who don't have the book, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit down, and I want you to start by relaxing. Let's say 5 times a day. I want when the boss is yelling, or the kids are running around doing what kids do, or you're on the bus and everybody's blah 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 blah. This is not about your cards. This is about you. I want you to just shut the world out completely, and I want you to be able to do it at the drop of a hat. It's no small task, but let's, you know, got to start somewhere. What you're doing here is you're simultaneously removing yourself from the judgment of others, which is a very necessary skill if you're going to start reading for people or for yourself, because the conscious yap-yap mind has a wonderful way of sneaking up behind you, intellectually speaking, and saying, well, what if you're wrong? Well, how do you know that's right? Well, this card has 5 or 6 different meanings. Which one is right? And it will screw with you, it's a little sting in the back of your neck. We're on the same page, right, Shay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So throughout the day, I want you to just take a moment, especially if you can do it in the busiest times. I don't want you running off to a mountain in Tibet and sitting up there and you know, cheating, because that's cheating. And I don't want you to go find a little quiet waterfalls and peaceful place with Fabio in it, and he's serving, I can't believe it's not Balta. I want you to do it in the most hectic places. You'll probably only get 5 seconds at a time where you can just completely zone out. You're still here. You're not allowed to go in a trance or put yourself to sleep. You have to be consciously aware, but your mind has to shut up. Your mind has to recede where you're looking out a window at everything that's going around you. And inside your personal space, it's dead quiet, and everything else is filtering in as if through this window. Ideally, you want to get to about 30 seconds where you can, at a time or at a stretch, where you can just sit there and see everything happening, and you could choose to interact with it, but you're not. You're consciously aware, but that little yappy voice is being very, very still. It is at that point that the tarot speaks to you. It's also at that point that you know, start manifesting and all that other stuff. So if you can work on this one little skill, that's your first homework, a couple times a day, that will do more to develop your ability to read the tarot than years of memorizing cards. And this is why I don't like memorizing cards. If you memorized cards, you would be nothing more than an automaton, and a computer could read cards better and faster than you. Just like computers are better chess players than us, because if there's only so many moves on the board, computers can calculate all those moves at a lightning fast speeds and be done with it. But that's not the way the tarot works. It's not a matter of, you know, oh, just certain cards come up. And yes, there's fun little iPhone apps like, oh, look, this is my tarot card of the day. Well, these are like Angry Birds. You know, boy, that just dated it. 10 years from now, people are going to go, hey, what's this tarot podcast, Angry Birds? What the hell is he talking about? Or worse, they'll be going, oh, yeah, I like Angry Birds. Who the hell is this dusty white guy? Any points to bring up, Shay? Anything?
Well, I just find that I think a lot of people can do that, but they can't do it on purpose until they start trying to, like you're suggesting.
Yes, yes. Oh, I'm gleefully saying I know that you're going to fail at this. Me, Mr. Optimist. And I want you to. I want you to fail. I want you to succeed. I want it to be painful because I've got 15 planets in Capricorn. I am an evil son of a bitch. I know. I'm the most boring Sag in the world. But I'm evil, damn it. I don't expect this to be easy, but I expect you to do it. I expect you to do that, soldier. Size Capricorn. Okay, Mercury Capricorn. I mean, there it's out there. Send your hate mail now to Santa@NorthPole.com. This is a very important skill, and it may seem like, well, what's this guy yapping about, and what does it have to do with tarot? When you grab your deck after you've done these things, or while you're doing them, or at some other points of the day, but simultaneously you could do this at maybe 10 a.m. and then 3 p.m. you just happen to have your deck. I want you to be able to sit down for 5 to 15 minutes a day with your deck, and I just want you to forget everything anyone has ever told you about the tarot. We're not going to go into all that superstitious nonsense. It's a deck of cards. You sit down, you flip one card over. I'll tell you what, to prove this is totally spontaneous, Shay, you do have a deck handy, right?
Of course.
Oh, good. I was going to say, if you don't, lie. Flip a card. I'd flip a card, but then, you know, I could plan this. You can throw me a card at random.
We have the Fool. I don't know if it could get more perfect than that.
Yes. Okay. Rule number one, don't let the major arcana screw you up. In my book, what's that book again, Dusty? Sorry, I'm making myself laugh because I'm reminded of all those horrible infomercial marketers. ShamWow. Well, I'll probably get sued by ShamWow now. Sorry, ShamWow. Everybody go out and buy ShamWow. It's a great product or whatever, I'm assuming. In my book, though, I separate the major arcana out, and I say, here, just start with the minor arcana, you know, because they're more daily life. It's a lot easier to just look at those first. But just like the first time we did a tarot podcast, and Carol was like, the devil. I'm like, oh boy, okay. Yeah, that's a good way to go. What do we have? All right, student number one. Shay, when you see the tarot, when you see the Fool, what are you looking at? What picture's right in front of you? What's this clown doing?
He's holding a man is like on the edge of a cliff, not even realizing he's on the edge of a cliff, and he just looks like he's ready to go do something, ready to take on the world.
Okay, so we have a guy going out for a walk.
Yeah.
He's not in town. He might be going to the store, but so he's on the edge of a precipice. So like a modern tarot might have him stepping off a curb in front of a speeding bus. I mean, would that be a fair translation of like what the image says to you?
Yes.
Okay. So we're not putting judgment on the card, but we're saying this is what we see. Here's a guy and he's just having a good old time. And it looks like to us that he's in mid-step about to go, hey, and you know, maybe he can walk on air. Maybe he's tricking his dog. We forgot to mention the dog. Who's like, yep, yep, yep. Does your Fool have a dog?
Yes, there's a little white dog kind of jumping up. Like he's probably barking.
I always thought that the dog was trying to go, hey, buddy, turn around. But it would be funny if he was a really evil dog, like Stewie on Family Guy. Or, have you seen the new show, Wilfred? I got to do a plug for Wilfred. It's got Elijah Wood, who played Frodo. And Wilfred is a dog, except it's a guy in a dog suit. And everybody else in the world sees a dog. Wilfred is an evil, evil, evil dog. So I could see this dog going, yeah, buddy, one more step and the house is mine. So I always thought that I was, as a matter of fact, again, I was always taught, you know, and this is what I want to help you guys. If you're brand new to the tarot and you can suffer through this talk, congratulations, because you're entering clean and we're going to strip all the dogma out and just make learning the tarot fun, and you're going to learn a lot faster than easier than everybody else. Because I was taught, those are the three words you never want to hear, especially coming from your mouth, like I just said. I was taught the dog is the conscious mind, and this is the logical side instructing him that he is about to, you know, take a misstep. It's like, who says the dog is his friend? Who says the dog's not like I'm going to take over, and the cats will, you know, be my servants, and this guy will never bother me again. So, the emphasis is we just have a picture of a guy about to do something. We can place our judgment off it and say, "Oh no, he's about to step off the cliff." Now, the fool, it kind of, you know, I think the intent is let's make it obvious. But again, let's step back a moment. With the fool, it's really Pamela Coleman Smith slash Rider-Waite, or PCSRW. It's Arthur Waite's deck that really emphasizes, hey, this guy's about to step off the cliff. In earlier decks, it wasn't necessarily, hey, I'm about to go off a cliff. You know? So sometimes different decks will have different visual interpretations because the artist will say, no, the fool is just a jester. You know, you want to go all the way back to France and say, hey, you know, where does that fool card look like there? Or back in Italy. Now, this gives the fool card a different meaning. Okay, I'm going to draw a card. And judgment. You know, again, what is it with these major arcana cards? Okay, here you know, I'm going to we'll get to judgment later, but I want to you know, Shay, give me a random minor arcana card because I don't want to stay up in the air with these ominous staged major arcana cards. I want a slice of daily life card, please.
How about Six of Swords?
Six of Swords. I love that card. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's a guy ferrying a boat, what looks like a mother and a child, but it's really just a hooded figure who's kind of hunched over and a kid. And,
Swords sticking through the boat.
right, which for some reason the boat's not leaking. So this goes right into, so homework number one was find your quiet place several times a day, which again, it's only 5 seconds that you're going to make it. If you make it to 30, yay. Even if you made it to 30 and you did it 5 times a day, oh boy, my math is really bad. What's that? 3 minutes a day? 6 times 5 is 3. No, 6 times 3 is 2. However long that is, it's a speck in time. It's a dust mote on the plane of history. Okay, that's me being philosophical. I don't know if that worked or not. So I want you to do that. Number two, I want you to sit down and just flip over a card. Just look at it. What do you see? If you don't see anything, throw the card away. You know, you have a trash can right there. Just throw it away. Pick out a new card. You know, actually put it in a little pile and just flip through. And I don't spend more than, let's say, 10, 15 seconds looking at each card. All we're doing is seeing what the card says to you. And the reason why we're doing this is that 100 years from now, when you're the grand exalted poobah Zen master of tarot, this is exactly what you're going to do. You're not going to be remembering, well, you know, I was taught, you know, some typing monkey like me. You're going to be sitting down with your great great grand students and going, listen to me, you need to, okay, I'm sorry, bad voice. You need to see what the card says and let it speak to you. Now it seems like cart before the horse. It seems, oh, if I could do that, why would I be listening to you yapping on and on? But we're starting you with the skill, and we have exercises that will help you develop this. The slow way is you can listen to me. The fast way is you can get the book, but we're going to do it the slow way because remember, slow is free. Free is good. So exercise number three, or a homework number three, is you're already sitting there with your cards. The next time you go through the deck, you know, or let's say you get the fool again, or in this case, the six of swords. The first thing we see is, okay, it's a guy pushing a boat, and he's leaving here because obviously he's going away from us. So yay, the relatives. Thanksgiving is coming up. Yay, the relatives are gone. We have some peace and quiet. So
So what's homework number two? You lost me. Homework number
I
one,
do
take
that.
5 seconds.
And homework number two is to sit down and look at your cards.
Okay.
Which is where we're at now. We're kind of, you know, we keep going back and forth between homework number two and homework number two, and then I foreshadow homework number three, and then Go back to homework number two. So, yeah, so that's for the fool. What do we got? We got a guy apparently walking off a cliff and a dog going, ha, 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 or, hey, buddy, watch out. You know, you put your own judgment on it. Or don't put your own judgment on it. Either way is okay for right now. I don't want you to get too stressed out about it. But homework number two, again, Six of Swords. We're just looking at a card and we're saying, what do we see? And here we go. And ignoring that the swords are poking in the boat right now. It's just basically people on a boat going away from us. Would you say it's about right?
Yep.
Okay. Now here is homework number three. For me, I flipped the page. Trying to think ahead. Okay, homework number three is we're still looking at the Six of Swords. But let's say this is our second time through. Like, oh man, the Six of Swords again. I already looked at this card. You're going to make me look at it again. Well, now I want you to look at something. Don't take the picture of the man in the boat and move him aside. Now, what else do we see? We see land in the background, right?
Right.
So presumably they're not just leaving. They're actually going somewhere. Right? Any place is better than this. Do you notice anything about the water, Shay?
It's really smooth on one side, and it's really rough on the other side. If I'm closest, I would kind of
exactly.
The perspective of the side they're leaving.
Yes, the side that's closest to us is all choppy. This is along the, again, I was taught, so be careful about the words I was taught, but I would put forth that this is along the lines of the grass is greener on the other side type of paradigm, where the choppy water means, you know, the whole troubled waters or stirred up agitation and stress is here and now. And then on the other side of the boat, because the boat's at an angle, so it bisects the card, it kind of cuts the card in half, the water on the other side is nice and smooth and serene. So apparently you could read into this, and this is exercise number three. Okay, we got a guy. He's a good man on a boat. That's fine. But the next time through, we go, is there anything else we see? Well, you know, water's choppy on this side, and so maybe they're going to a better place. Exercise number 3A, you know, it's still exercise number three, but what else can we see? Well, the apparent alleged, I mean, if we want to go sexist, you know, general society, it does look like the man is providing for the woman, where he is pushing the boat and she is, again, assuming it's a she, and it's a big, bold assumption, and I'm sorry, just going with the, you know, the simplest solution as an example. She could be covered up from the elements, you know, protecting herself from the circumstance. So again, what this does is this starts to paint a picture of people like refugees. They're fleeing. Or he could be a professional ferryman. She could be a rich lady who just hired a taxi. So again, this is where the beauty of the tarot comes in. And this is something, a really advanced notice, a really advanced lesson that I want you to learn right away, of course, is there's only 78 cards to describe millions of possibilities. So each card has to pull double duty. And of course, this is where a lot of people get frustrated early on, because like, how could this card mean so many different things? Especially if you go through one of those books where it gives you 15 different keywords, or, you know, here's a card may mean this or a card may mean that. The only meaning that is important is what the card is saying to you right now. Now, over time, it'll get a lot easier, it'll get a lot clearer, but that in no way doesn't mean that you can't get meanings out of cards right now, right away, because the cards are designed so where 100 years from now, you're just going to sit down, I'm going to pull a card right now, and, finally, a minor arcana, most annoying one in the world, the Eight of Wands. But you pull one out and you say, oh, it's the Eight of Wands. Okay, what do I see? I see eight wands detached from Earth. It's like they're just up in the air. Okay, so maybe everything's up in the air. Maybe things are in motion. And the tarot has done its job. It just told it, hey, things are in motion, pal. You know, deal with it. Go with the flow. Now you can move on with your logical, conscious mind plans because you've been given the input. And it's not ooky spooky. You don't have to take a whole bunch from it. Do you want to talk for a moment while I figure out where I left off?
Sure. Well, with the multiple meanings, that was one of the things that really kind of worried me when I first started reading. And it was like, how am I supposed to know which meaning? And it really is as simple as when you look at the card, it's something's going to kind of pop out at you. And that's kind of where you head with it. You don't say, well, I remember that I was taught this. You go with what's kind of popping into your head at that point, because that tends to be, you know, where you're supposed to be going with that particular reading at that particular time.
And I think we've just summed all of our tarot teaching in one episode. So congratulations, you're all tarot masters.
That was easy.
You said it. You said it just pops into your mind. All we're trying to do is get you to a point where what she just said happens all the time. It's scary because it's like jumping off a cliff. Well, it's like the Fool, you know. Maybe this is his rite of passage. It's like, I know I'm going off the cliff. I'm not stupid. I have eyeballs. See, I'm packing my things because I know that I'm going off the cliff. But this is my leap of faith. This is my, I'm a professional diver. We're trying to get you to a point where it does pop in your head. And that yappy, yap, yap voice, which you will experience over and over, is going to leap out at you and say, well, how do you know that that's right? Well, you know, logic states that the tarot is nothing more than ancient superstition. Or it might say, well, there's 15 different meanings. Well, yesterday, so-and-so said, you know, there's the logical mind or the conscious awareness, which is more than logical mind because it has emotions attached, it has memories, it has conjecture, all of these different little needling input devices to create the conscious awareness. All of these, it's a survival mechanism. It's not a bad thing. It's part of who you are. By learning just to kind of move it away. You don't want to shut it out. We're not going into total trance because you do have to stay aware. But if we can just move it off to the side and make room for the impulses to come through, and we can sit there in a non-judgmental point and go, I don't like that impulse, and let it go on by, or this is the one that I'm waiting for. These are not the droids you're looking for. So the exercises we're going to teach you are designed to do that. But there is the alpha and the omega. Welcome to the tarot class. By the way, here's all you have to do is quiet your mind, pull the card, and as Shay said, the meaning that is right for you at the moment will jump out at you. Now, what to do if it doesn't happen right away? Don't worry about it. It happens to all of us. Sometimes we just have to sit there. I think the best line I've ever heard was from an old 1970s TV show. It was Patience Grasshopper. If you can just do that, you'll beat the number one enemy. The number one enemy is distraction. The number two enemy, which is like 1A, it's really up to here, is frustration. Distraction will make you wander away, and you'll end up years later going, oh my God, I totally forgot to do that. I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender. I could have been this person. So don't get distracted. The other one is frustration, because frustration is a very valuable tool. It causes crazy chemicals in our brain to act, so our brain starts hyperacting. It starts looking around for ways to end this frustration, to get over this hump. Tarot reading is not about frustration. If you can't find answers right away, the most important thing is develop a mechanism. Shrug it off, smile, throw your hands up in the air. Whatever mechanism that is, it's a counter-stress mechanism, because that helps you keep the channel open. The reason why we're doing exercise, homework 1, 2, and 3, is homework 1 gives you that ability to not only go into the zone, but when you get frustrated, you can just let that wash over you. So you'll be doing homework one, and you're like, this is dumb, this is stupid, this has got nothing to do with tarot. But then when you're in the tarot, you're like, oh my God, it just makes it so much easier. And then homework two, 99% of reading the cards is just seeing what's in front of you. And of course, letting the moment come. And if you're in that zone from homework one of just zoning out, but not totally zoning out, you're keeping conscious awareness. But if you enter that nice quiet place where you can be, it's like you're in the matrix. Everything else is just moving around you, and you're just kind of looking at it going, well, this is interesting. I think I'll take that. I think I'll take that. And the whole world's just rushing by, all right, because they're all lost in the Maya, in the daily me, 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 me. If you can step away from that, you'll be a wonderful tarot reader. And then homework number three is we're just taking that little extra step beyond it. I want to give one more example because this is so important. Oh, hey, Four of Cups. Yay. You knew I wanted to talk about this Four of Cups. Do you want to tell me what we see when we see, again, I'm using the Rider-Waite. I hope you're using the Rider-Waite because it makes.
Yeah, I have the Radiant. Same thing.
Yay. Yay, Pam. All right, say, would you mind telling our studio audience, please? What do we see? What picture are we looking at?
So there's a guy sitting under a tree with three cups in front of him and one magically coming from a hand in a cloud.
Yeah, it's kind of a spooky card in that sense, the hand coming out. And it's not the whole hand of God thing, like with the Ace of Coins. It's a little dinky hand, like a little fairy hand. So there's no clouds in the sky. It's not raining. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. It's just a guy sitting under a tree. I was going to homework number three. Now he is. This is a one of my favorite cards because it's so annoying. It kind of looks like he's pouting, but he could be contemplating, or maybe he's just nodded off and. Not quite, laid out asleep, but just kind of, I'm sitting here, okay, I'm gone. So the question is he even aware of what's going on around him, or is he sitting there going, no, I want chocolate?
He looks very bored.
Yeah, bored is right. Now, when we go to exercise three, what is exercise three? Oh, I have to get to that later. When we go to homework number three, this is why you shouldn't number things and then renumber them. But when you go to homework number three, homework number two, he's sitting there. Homework number three, behind him are a lot more trees. If he's not getting enough shade, if he's not happy with what he has, with his resources, there's no lions in the picture. It's not raining. There's no armies attacking him. And he's not dressed in rags. Presumably, he could nothing stopping him from getting up, walking over, and enjoying all of those trees. I mean, if shade is what he's after, if and presumably that's why you would sit under a tree on a sunny day, is you want some shade. But he's sitting there, either looking at the cups or not looking at the cups. But either way, he's not making action towards the cups. And here's this disembodied hand is going, hey buddy, how about this one? I mean, this is the gods reaching out to him, saying, you don't even have to lean forward. We'll just hand it to you. All you have to do is open your hand. We'll put it, the cup in your hand for you. Can you do that much? And he's like, no, wah. Or again, maybe he's like, I'm asleep. So again, here we have a variation of meaning, but by looking just to, and you don't want to overanalyze this. You just want to kind of gently look at it and see what's happening. Again, I probably should bring it up now. Overanalyzing, bad. But just kind of casually looking at it and going, hey, here's another possibility. What this does is this opens it up so that when you are sitting there reading, 80% of the time, the little details that I just spent 5 minutes fussing over, they won't mean anything. It's the guy sitting there. You know, it's like, hey, you're not paying attention to what's around you. Or, you know, you had everything on a plate. It was being handed to you, and you're like, nope, that's not good enough. And now you don't have it anymore. I mean, it could be just that simple. But then 20% of the time, the guy won't matter. The cup won't matter. Something inside your head will say, you were sitting under that tree, and if you just bothered turning your head, I mean, come on, how hard is it to turn around and look behind you? Which circumstances have told us in hindsight, it actually is very hard sometimes to stop focusing on what you're doing and just take a look around. But if you looked around, there's a whole much better place right there, you know? So what we're doing here is we're saying, just learn to see what's in front of you. And then when you're comfortable with that, you're like, all right, I've done that. Take a little bit of a deeper look. Now, this will all come to play when you're sitting there and you're throwing out a spread. You're saying, oh, my God, I'm looking at all these cards. What's going on in front of me? Well, you sit down and you just say, okay, I know this card position means this. And this card means this. And this card means this over here. And you may seem kind of silly to start that way. But when you consciously sit down and say these things, even if you have to do it out loud, loud is good. It's something that people don't look at you funny. You're just bringing them into your conscious mind, but because you're doing the detached thing, you're just kind of looking at it like it's somebody else's problem. Now the little answers will start popping up. They'll go, oh, this card means over here and this card means there. And you'll start to see connections and you'll start to see how things work together. So that's what we're building towards. Okay, sure, your turn. I gotta flip through this. Are we on track? Does this sound like it makes sense?
Yeah, I think it's making a lot of sense, and I think that, you know, we've got quite a few things that people can start working with.
It makes sense to me, but that's because it's inside my own brain. Oh.
No, this will make sense for people to work.
And before I forget, I'm the sponsor of the show. I'm available for one-on-one advanced lessons at a ridiculously affordable rate. I'm in the middle of redesigning tarot. It's been something that's been going on for about 19 years. It's a huge project, but we're right at the end. So for the next couple of months until this comes out, I've made a promise to myself that I will do my best to be available for free to anyone, through the Advanced Tarot Secrets forums. It's forums.advancedtarotsecrets.com. If you have the book, go there. If you don't have the book, go to easytarotlessons.com. Soak up all this free information. Please sign up for our free lessons. There's no gimmicks. It's right at the top of the page. You just put your name in, your email in, and we'll teach you how to do this for free. But if you would like a competent, hopefully, tarot teacher, I'm available for ridiculously, ridiculously low price, probably cheaper than you can find locally. If you want a local teacher, please get a local teacher. If you can't find one, help me out and I'll help you out. Details are on the easytarotlessons.com website. I'll make up a page. So what we're doing here is we're just talking about getting to know your cards. Your job is to sit down and get comfortable with them. Oh, which deck is the best? Shay, what decks do you like?
Well, my favorite deck is the Gilded Tarot. It's just really beautiful imagery that I connect personally very well with, and I find a lot of my clients like it. And then my second favorite deck would be the Rider-Waite-Smith deck that when I first started reading, I thought was the most hideous thing I've seen in my life,
yeah.
And now I'm in love with it.
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with the PCSRW that just goes back forever. And I use it now as a teaching tool. If you're sitting here going, this is great, what deck do I get? Get a PCSRW. That's the Pamela Coleman Smith Rider-Waite, also known as just the Rider-Waite, the original Rider-Waite. Now, you could get the Albano-Waite, the, oh, God, I'm sorry. Wait, I have to apologize to U.S. Games. You could get the Universal-Waite. That's kind of a very prettied up Rider-Waite. But little tiny details like the Queen of Cats, the Queen of Wands cat is supposed to be mangy. In the universal weight, it's all pretty and it's got a nice shiny coat. It doesn't have like a fish hanging out of its mouth. Little details like this may not seem like much, but you know, when you get more and more in depth, you'll want the purity. Rider Waite deck is a great deck. It's not very pretty, but it's easy to learn, and it's a workhorse. It will work for you forever. To this day, I use the Rider Waite. I have the Thoth deck. I have, like any tarot reader, I have about 100 decks. But this is the one that I come to over and over because I just, when I'm reading, I just want to give you answers. I don't want to spend all day going, batons and coins and chalices and whatever. It's your job to sit down and have a conversation with your deck. Whatever deck allows you to have a conversation with, that's the deck for you. Now, some decks will be very, very pretty. I love the Deviant Moon Tarot deck. Oh, if you're the artist, I love you, man. Dude, you rock. It's a great thing. Deck's a little hard to read with for me, but I still didn't stop me from buying it. So the Dolly deck, oh my God, $120 a deck, but it's got gilded edges and a gold, and it's got a nice little velvet bag. I bought three of those damn things. And I ended up giving all three of them away eventually. You know, I buy a deck. It's like, stupid deck, I can't read with it. Here, would you like this? And so I'm out almost $400. Thanks a lot, Salvatore. But again, a deck can be very beautiful and just impossible to read with. Is it you? It might be. It might be the deck. You know, not all decks are created equal, unlike people. So definitely get to know what your deck. We've covered that already. We've covered all of that. Here's a good one. Real quick, I want to leave you with this too. Now, let's say you've gone through this. It's a lot of homework for the week. So you're sitting there looking at your cards like, yeah. While you're doing this, here's homework number four. You get in that quiet zone, you look at your cards, whatever, and then I don't want you to get bored and say, I've done all the homework. I want you to look at the deck. This will be a totally different experience. Let's pick out the Alpha Bullies. It's like, hey, here's Strength. All right. Now, I'm just calling the nice, kind lady with the infinity symbol, I forget what it's called, floating over her head, sewing divinity and strength, calling her an Alpha Bully. That's kind of funny. But you'll have your cards like the Knight of Wands. It's neat. The Knight of Wands versus Knight of Swords. And these are your Alpha cards. You know, hey, look at me. You're out of my way, you jerk. You get the Five of Swords. Swords tend to be a little bit aggro. So you have your friendly cards like the Three of Cups, and then you have your angry cards or your take charge cards. So what I'd like you to do is homework number four, just go through the cards and just throw them in a couple of piles. You know, here's a card who's whatever. Here's a card who's angry or overpowering, and here's another card that's kind of laid back. And then if you get bored with that, I want you to take your cards and make them fight Mortal Kombat style. I'll finish him. You, Shay, would you pull out a card, please? And I'll pull out a card.
How about Three of Cups?
Oh, great. I got three. You got Three of Cups. I got the Ace of Coins. It's called the Ace of Pentacles. Boy, we're going to get into that, but not right now. I'm going to use the term Ace of Coins because the meaning of the suit is money, not some kind of mystical spirituality that doesn't exist in any other suit. Now, here is it possible to have one card dominate another? I don't know. You know, Three of Cups is pretty damn happy, and Ace of Coins is very forceful. It is an ace. It's the prime source. It's the Ace of Coins. You got a big giant hand, presumably the hand of God, just reaching out saying, here's a giant coin, here's a whole bunch of money. I was like, well, okay, kind of, you know, that could trump it. So see if one card trumps another. You know, just put them up together, and if not, throw them in a pile. What we're doing is we're preparing you to see how cards interact with each other. But again, this is in a very non-stressful way. So this is all wax on, wax off kind of stuff. Hopefully you'll have fun with it. hopefully it'll seem silly. You're like, what is this doing? But it's easy enough that you can do. Hopefully it's interesting enough that you can do it. And if you do do it, tell me, what is it that you do do? If you can do it and you do do it, you'll find out within days and within weeks, that cards speak to you, that you can just look at them, you can make them interact, you can shove them around, and you can just create all kinds of scenarios without even really thinking about it. And this will put you years ahead of sitting there and having to read books and memorizing. It just puts me to sleep. Have fun looking beyond. And, Dusty at EasyTarotLessons.com. Any complaints, questions, problems, please tell us what you thought about the episode, because we're just going to keep doing them. But I'd love to have your feedback. So Dusty at EasyTarotLessons.com. I've been yapping forever, but I suppose I can do that. And I just want to share a whole bunch of information and make this as easy as possible. Shay, is there anything you think we left out? I mean, have we loaded them up with enough to get them started?
Yeah, I think that's probably good to get them going. If you keep adding a little more to it as they keep going through it, that gives them a really good start and a lot of things to work on.
Yeah, and what I want to do is disabuse everybody of the notion that you have to have some kind of secret mystical powers, otherwise you can't read the cards. Just let the cards be the cards. Let you be you. Don't worry about a lot of stuff that we will cover, but doesn't need to be covered right now. You know, get your mind in a good place, anywhere, anytime. That's a huge skill. That's something we're going to start with. Realize that the tarot is a developmental tool, and the rest pretty much falls in place. We'll just keep piling on a little bit at a time. But let us just take you by the hand, and we promise not to walk you off any cliffs. If you have any questions, if you have the book, pop over to the Advanced Tarot Secrets Forum site and let us know. If you don't have the book, email me. Was it Dusty at EasyTarotLessons.com? It doesn't cost anything. I'll do my best to answer you right away. Or please do sign up. Go to Easy Tarot Lessons right now. I know if you're out and about, try to remember. Go to EasyTarotLessons.com. Sign up for the free lessons. All we want to do is be able to pop you a little email once in a while going, hey, new podcast is up. Or here's a whole bunch of tarot articles that you may want to know. And then you can look at them and or ignore them, but at least you'll know. And we will be that quiet little nagging voice at the back of your head, keeping you on the path of learning the tarot so you don't get too distracted. But it's just about as non-invasive as we can be and still be helpful. Okay, I've talked so much that I've probably put everybody to sleep. Do you have any last words, Shay?
Really just, you know, keep at it. It's there's times when you start thinking, oh, this is too much to learn, and it's really worth the effort, and it's not too much to learn. It's as simple as Dusty has made it.
And the payoff is great. Oh, my God, the payoff is so wonderful. Okay, anything we haven't got to, we'll get to next time. Thank you so much for listening. We're here for you.